Yeah, we've got Rupert and Kristen here, and the editor, and myself. So if you have any questions, please. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. So, sorry?
There's a bird vision going on, this nudity going on. I'm wondering, did you Guinness Book of Records for most G-rated movie, the whole entire point of face there? And can you re-edit a movie without any inappropriate content?
Oh, were you talking about the content in the film?
Yeah.
Because we see, yeah, there are a couple of F words, and yes, there's, I suppose there's a little bit of blurred nudity. We might have to edit that out. I'm not sure. It's up to the distributors of the film, but yeah, we will. But thank you very much for your comment.
Autism, been on the spectrum for 22 years. I'm about to pronounce Brock Bond come to Texas.
He would like
Brock Bond to come to Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
We haven't heard yet, but that's all we want to talk about.
Yeah, I know.
That's enough.
Also, my question is, so how long did the one diagnose autism?
I'm sorry?
Oh, yeah.
How long?
In 2004.
His question was when was Rowan diagnosed with autism? It was 2004. Thank you very much. There was a question in the back.
Yeah. Come back on the trip, or do you guys have to do that same dose every day?
The question was about the medication and whether he was on the medication on the trip.
No, he wasn't. He stopped his course of medication before going. So, and right now, he's not taking any sort of medication.
Yeah. Yeah, the question was, does Rowan talk about his dreams?
He does sometimes. Yeah, you want to?
Usually about animals.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound that different than what he talks about and fantasizing about his animals. So he has dreams about animals and
talks
in his sleep about animals. Yeah, and he does snore a lot, too.
In front.
Looking back in hindsight now, I think he was autistic since birth. I took him to an infant massage class, and all the other infants were blissed out and loving it, and Rome was screaming his head off. So that was in about 2 weeks. So, I think so.
And there were obsessive behaviors from quite early. Yeah.
Great. Somebody else? Yeah.
There were a lot of moments of uncertainty for the parents, I'm sure. For the filmmakers, what if it turned out differently? You know, did you have to go through the same anxiety?
So the question was, for the parents, obviously, they were unsure, what was going to happen, and they went through a certain level of anxiety, and the question was, did the filmmakers go through that same anxiety? And, you know, to be honest, I hate to say this, but before going on the trip, I was thinking there was a very good chance that Rowan was not going to be healed from this. I mean, it's not that I was... It's not that I didn't believe that it was possible, but when I was projecting, the possible outcomes of the film, I actually thought that the film was going to be about the family coming to terms with their child's autism. And I think one of the beautiful things about this film was that it was that, but then it was just that much more. So for me, I don't think I went through the same level of anxiety of whether he was going to be healed or not, but certainly I had another arc. Of anxiety, which was, when there was frustration on the trip and, if I was tired and, I couldn't go on anymore. And, certainly there were times where I doubted, whether we had enough coverage, enough footage to make an amazing film. You know, I mean, thankfully we did, you know, and it turned out wonderfully. Yeah, go ahead.
There was a moment that I know comments in the film where the two of you were meditating in a lake. I wanted to know if you could comment a little bit on that, if you would. And secondly, have you made his drum and costume yet?
Well, I tell you what goes through my mind now when I see that footage is I wish I'd lost 20 pounds before I went out. what we were doing is we were praying, you know, and the thing about how we got to Lake Chagres is actually quite complicated. And I wrote a book called The Horse Boy, which comes out next month, and that is in there. There wasn't time to go into things like that in the film, how and why we ended up at that particular lake and so on. But it's a lake where there is by reputation a possibility for prayer and taking away of pain, as well as, it turned out, this healing spring for the brain, which we didn't know about until we were on the road, which was nearby. So, but we were praying there, basically, and what prays for all sorts of things. There's really nothing much more to add to that. There was a second part of your question, though, was there not, that I'm not addressing? What? Oh, yeah. Drama. Well, put it this way. It's funny. I mean, we took Ghost's advice, which is he said that we have to do at least one good shamanic ritual every year for the 3 years following that one, which is like a brilliant excuse to go and have an amazing family adventure every year. So we went down to Namibia last summer because the healers down in Botswana and Namibia, I'm very close to and I know them personally, but Besa, who is the healer I'm closest to there, Rowan's middle name is Besa, I've known him for about 12 to 14 years and I've never had a conversation with him. Yet he came hundreds of miles to heal Rowan in Namibia because I'm banned in Botswana, I can't go into the country anymore because of the human rights stuff. So even though there's this kind, he's basically, you know, adult autism, yet he will come that whole distance and do this work. And he and all the others say, yeah, in our culture, Rowan would be marked out for training. And they all basically say the same thing, which is that if you stand in the way of him becoming a shaman, then he probably won't, but if you don't, then he probably will. And it's no big deal if you do stand in the way of it, but as long as you don't actually sort of throw an obstacle in the path, then that's what he's going to do. So we will see.
Yeah. Another question? Whoever had their hand up first, I don't know. Go ahead, yeah, sir.
How did you find yourself?
Well, I found them and they found me. Yeah. Well, it's an interesting story, actually. Rupert, you know, being a human rights activist working with the Kalahari Bushmen, he actually gave a book talk about the Kalahari Bushmen. And I'm very interested in indigenous cultures. I've wanted to kind of tailor my career to follow indigenous cultures and to spend more time outside in nature. So I went to a book talk that he was giving and I was just incredibly inspired by what he was doing. And so I approached him afterwards and I said, you know, look, I really want to help. This is what I want to do with my career. I'm really burned out on what I've been doing in Hollywood, you know, cinema, and I want to help. And he said, okay, let's do it. I mean, I guess we just had a kind of a connection from the beginning. And so he invited me over a couple of times and we were actually working in pre-production on this film about the Bushmen. And then one night he invited me over for dinner and we were chatting at the dinner table and he just kind of stopped and paused and said, you know, look, you've met my autistic son, Rowan, and, you know, I've tried, you know, such, you know, this wide range of therapies for him and nothing has really seemed to help any more than another and we don't really know what to do, but I've got this gut instinct that we need to take him to Mongolia and ride on horseback across the country in search of these shamans who I think can heal my son. And I just got this gut instinct that it might work. And he, you know, said, hey, do you want to come along and maybe, you know, film it? And I said, yeah, that sounds great. That sounds amazing. So I knew right away, you know, when I heard his first words about that, that it was going to be an incredible journey, not because I thought necessarily that Rome was going to be healed, but just because I saw such devotion and such love that these parents had for their child, and that was inspiring from the beginning. So yeah, it was a bit of a joint decision to make this film, yeah. I mean, did you want to say anything about it? Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah, go ahead in the front. Me specifically? I get asked that a lot. I get asked what the energy was that I felt during the shaman ceremony, and it was a bit of being overwhelmed because I was trying to film, you know, this amazingly beautiful experience, and at the same time, I was also just in awe of this beautiful culture that I was experiencing. I would like to think that I benefited from it, absolutely. And I do actually believe that, you know, whatever the reason was, but whether I felt any specific energy, I mean, it was all so mixed because I was just so excited to be there and I was focusing on the camera and I was trying to film it, but yeah, it was fantastic. It was beautiful. Actually, I think you've had your hand up for a bit. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
How did Shaman react
to you? They were incredibly gracious. You know, that's something we didn't know when we went in. We weren't sure if they would want to be filmed or not. And the first Shaman ceremony that you saw, they were just amazing. I was able to get very close and they didn't respond. I mean, most people would probably say, who study shamanism, would say that that's because they were in trance and they weren't even speaking, you know, to my reality at that moment. You know, they were on a different level. But whatever the reason was, it was incredible to be able to get so close and for them to not mind. Now, with that said, Ghost actually didn't want us to film in the beginning. He told us, no, there can't be any cameras. And we were totally prepared to do that. Rupert and Kristen were prepared to say, okay, well, no cameras then. But we talked to them, or actually Rupert and Kristen talked to them a little bit, him about why we were filming this and the reasons and the importance of it. And he actually changed his mind and he said, okay, you know, if you're here for that reason, then it's okay.
I'll just add something to that though.
Did you notice how dark it was in that footage?
Oh yeah.
There was a light. He allowed us to have one light in there. It often happens if you have equipment going on during a shamanistic ceremony that the equipment fails, and it's like a standard. Everyone who works in the Kalahari or the film, they all their cameras don't work, and then 2 hours later the cameras miraculously come to life again. And the same thing happened basically there, which is the light died at a particular point. So it's as if the thing kind of takes care of itself. But really, the worry from Ghost's point of view was that it's almost more like an intellectual property thing. There have been a lot of anthropologists and so on going to these places and filming it culturally. The difference, I think, here is that we were consulting with him as a professional, and we weren't making a film about shamanism or about Mongolian shamanism or about, you know, we were simply making a film about Rowan. And it's funny, once we'd sort of explained that, he's like, yeah, okay, no worries. And it's the whole thing is very informal.
I think we'll be outside.
Yeah, we'll be outside for more questions, but I think we have time for one more. Which one? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, he's reading at third grade level. He's doing fractions, double-digit math. He's definitely about 2 grade levels ahead of where he should be.
Whoa.